This is Samuel chapter 26. Some men from Ziph had come to Saul in Gibeah and told him, David is hiding in Mount Hakilah at the edge of the desert of Judea. There's a trouble with poor David. He was always being betrayed by people, and really he had done nothing wrong. And these people obviously thought that by betraying him, they were going to somehow get rewarded by Saul. So it was an awful position to be in where he couldn't trust people, and he was really innocent at this point, and really he was suffering, really, because of his own success and because of his own just humble devotion to God, which led to his victory over Goliath. So Saul immediately took 3,000 of the best soldiers in Israel and went into the wilderness of Ziph searching for David, and they camped along the road on Mount Hakilah. But David was still in the desert. When he learned that Saul had come looking for him, he sent spies and found out that indeed Saul was there. So again, you see, David had to not really trust anyone, really. He couldn't really trust information he was given, so many people betraying him. David immediately located exactly where Saul and Abner, the commander of his army, were sleeping. Saul was sleeping inside the camp, and his men were camped around him. David then asked Ahimelech and Abishai, the brother of Joab, whose mother was Zeruiah, which of you two is going to go with me into Saul's camp? I will go, Abishai answered. So that night David and Abishai entered Saul's camp, and they found Saul sleeping in the center of the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner, that's the general, the commander of the army of Saul, and his soldiers were sleeping around him. Abishai said to David, God has put your enemy in your power tonight. Now, I'm sure he must have whispered it because they'd have gone very quietly. I mean, David was exactly the man they wanted to get, and there he was snooping around in their camp. Now, Abishai says, let me plunge his own spear through him and pin him into the ground. I can do it with just one blow, and I won't strike him a second time. David said, and this would have all been whispered, you mustn't harm him. Yahweh is definitely going to punish whoever hurts his anointed king. David continued, I know that Yahweh himself is going to kill Saul. Perhaps his time will come to die of natural causes, or he will die in battle. God forbid that I should try to harm the Lord's anointed. Let's take his spear and his water jar and go. So you wonder exactly what the point was of David's plan to go into the center of Saul's camp. And I think it was to do this, to just steal Saul's spear and personal things, to try to show Saul that I really am not trying to kill you. No one saw it or knew what had happened or even woke up. They were deeply sleeping because Yahweh had sent a heavy sleep upon them. So David crossed to the other side of the valley, went up to the top of the hill, and when he was a safe distance away, he shouted out to Saul's soldiers and to Abner. Abner, do you hear me? What's that? Shouting and disturbing the king, Abner asked. This would have still been early in the morning. David replied, Abner, are you not the great man in Israel? So why are you not protecting your master, the king? Just now, somebody entered the camp in order to kill your master. But, Abner, you failed to protect him. I swear by God that you all deserve to die because you did not protect your master, whom Yahweh has made king. Look, where is the king's spear? Where is the jar of water that was just by his head? Saul recognized David's voice and asked, David, is that you, my son? Don't forget they're calling to each other across the valley. Yes, your master, David replied. Why are you still chasing me when I'm your servant? What have I done? What sin have I done? Please, listen to what I have to say. If it is Yahweh who's turned you against me, then he would change his mind if you offered an offering to him. But if men have turned you against me, may Yahweh's curse fall on them. For they've driven me out from Yahweh's land into a country where I can only worship foreign gods. Don't let me be killed on foreign soil away from Yahweh. Why should the king of Israel come to chase a flea like me? Why is he hunting me around the desert like a wild bird? Saul replied, I have sinned. Return, David, my son. I will not hurt you again, because you have spared my life today. I have been a fool. I have sinned and done a terribly foolish thing. Well, see, people can come down very small before God and man in a moment, but it's beyond that. David replied, here is your spear. So you've got to live in that spirit all your life, not just in the point of crisis. David replied, here is your spear. Let one of your young men come over and take it. The Lord rewards those who are faithful and righteous. Today, God put you into my power, but I did not harm you. You are the Lord's anointed. Just as I have spared your life today, may the Lord also spare my life and release me from all my troubles. Saul said to David, may God bless you, my son. You will be blessed in all that you do. So David went on his way, and Saul returned home. Now, we have to forgive people, and I think it's clear that David did forgive Saul. But I don't think you have to trust people. If someone's really done wrong to you and they don't say sorry, or even if they do say sorry, sure, forgive them, whether or not they repent. But trust is something that has to be built up. And so when Saul says to David, oh, you know, come back with me, it's all okay now, David doesn't do that. He doesn't believe him. David went on his way, and Saul returned home. And so it just shows that we must forgive, absolutely, whether or not the person's sorry. But that doesn't mean that we have to trust them. It doesn't mean we have to be naive and just trust whatever they say. And if there is ever to be a relationship again, that has to be rebuilt.